And the Lord said when we get to him in prayer, if we ask for a piece of bread, he won't give us a stone, or an egg, he won't give us a scorpion. So he has heard what we've said today, and he will answer prayer. I'm not going to be up here long, but I did write down some scriptures that have been quickened to me for probably a couple of weeks, and I just wanted to go over them. They're in different translations, so I'm going to try to just go through them. And then I believe there's just a central thought I've got. First one's Romans 15:5. Now may the God who gives the power of patient endurance and who supplies encouragement grant you to live in such mutual harmony and such full sympathy with one another in accord with Jesus Christ. Now the God who gives, I'm going to go to the single, what I'm thinking about, the God who gives encouragement. We all need encouragement, don't we? And we've got a God who gives that to us. I know everybody here has got a track record. You can look back and see where the Lord's quickened a scripture to you just at the right time, a song, because he's faithful. He's going to take care of us. I'm going to go on with this to Hebrews 10. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our faith without wavering. For he who promised, and listen to this, is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. To his word. And I'm just going to go ahead and encourage you today and myself too. JP somewhere in here, he always talks to me about this. But we need to be in the word. God wants to write his word in our hearts. And if you're having a tough time with getting a Bible study or some means to go to his word daily, talk to somebody here and see what they're doing, because God would have us to do that. Because he's reliable, trustworthy, and faithful to his word. When he quickens the word and we hold to it, we're going to see action. We're going to see God move. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may, let me go back, and let us, I want to think about that word us. Let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds. It talks about not forsaking our meeting together, as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Is his day approaching? So what should we be doing? Encourage one another. I mean, everybody here has the gift of encouragement. And it's because each one of you have this, you've got this indescribable treasure within you. And it's Jesus Christ. Wow. And to be able to encourage one another, I'm going to tell you this, for me, it takes faith. I'm always wanting either a dove to land on my shoulder or some kind of shiver up and down my spine, but we need to step out in faith and realize we need to encourage one another. Hebrews 3:12. Take care, my brothers and sisters, that there be not in any of you a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to trust and rely on the Lord, a heart that turns away from the living God. Who is this written to? Brothers and sisters, Christians. Did you know I've had that happen? Is anybody else ever get that? You sort of get called to drift. Don't tell me your old nature don't bother you. But here's the answer. Continually encourage one another every day. As long as it is called today and there is an opportunity. And the reason for that is so none of you will be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin. Don't you think encouragement's needed? It is. May God help us to encourage each other. And like I said, all of us have got, we sing that song, on the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify, Jesus never fails. We have an opportunity to do that. God, and if you're home or when you're praying, ask the Lord this. Is there somebody you would have me to encourage? It could be a phone call or anything like that. First Thessalonians 5:14, I'm not going to read this whole thing. It's talking about the day of the Lord coming, but you're not in dark about these things. Day is going to come as a thief. You're the children of light. Be on guard. Don't be asleep. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Wow. This day's a mess to live in, but God can help us. You're protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as a helmet, the confidence of our salvation. So, encourage each other and build each other up. And I believe this just as you are already doing. Even we heard tonight, you know, when folks are going through things, we send them cards and letters, but we need to keep doing this. And how does the Lord look at this? Then those who feared the Lord and talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. And a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. It said, who feared the Lord and honored his name. But you know what they were doing? Is encouraging one another. God looked at it like they were fearing him and honoring his name. You know, when we encourage one another, I thought about, you've seen some of these ponds of water. A lot of times they'll make a pond and there's no water going into it or out of it. So what they're doing, they have to get you've seen these aeration systems where it's throwing water down in, air down in there, and that way you'll have life and things will live. But if that don't happen, nothing's living in there. And if you've got a pond where water's going in and out, it's full of life and everything. When we, and here's something about the economy of God. And this scripture we usually use when it comes to tithing. It talks about a give. And you think of a cup pressed down, heaped up, and rolling over. When we do that, it's coming back to you. You cannot water without being watered. And we're not doing it for that. But when you and I start encouraging one another, all the more so as we see the day approaching, because folks, we all need encouragement. I do, don't y'all? There's something that happens in the body of Christ, in our homes, in people who are around, that makes God's heart move, and he writes it down. But also, we're watered. We begin to blossom more. There's a living Christ within us, which is growing and being manifested. And that's what needs to happen. I don't know what else I can say. That's what's been on my heart. I do want to say this. If anybody here this morning has something along these lines, the Lord's laid it on your heart, or if you just want to say something, how God's been good to you, and share it with others here, I think this is a good opportunity to do that. I love hearing when I hear about the faithfulness of God through others. So this could be an opportunity. I don't think... Hopefully, don't be like me and just think about it and ask for, well, God, if you're in it, let me know by making that dove land on my shoulder or something special. Just step out in faith and share, and you'll be watered.
Praise God. Thank God for his faithfulness. I appreciate the worship service this morning. Everything that we have need of, we have in Christ. And I appreciate Joel exercising himself there. You know, he mentioned encouragement several times. To encourage is like to instill courage, confidence. In the world we are living in right now, we need the Lord to instill a confidence in us. Do we not? His word, you know, Joel mentioned reading the word. When the Lord makes that word alive, it's him. His word, he became the word. Okay, the word became flesh, but when he makes it real today, that's when we need it. It's today if you will hear his voice. You know, we don't live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds or comes out, present tense now, by the word of God. And the truth of the matter is, he can speak from a pulpit, he can speak from or to a brother and sister, but just two people talking to each other. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit, because we need the very life of God, like that well springing up, to give to others. It comes from Christ. That's where it comes from. And truth of the matter is, we do have this treasure in earthen vessels. And when we're saved and brought in into a relationship back with our Father and the Lord has restored us, there's a process that starts. But what happens after it starts, it continues to go. And it involves a growing relationship with the one who has saved us. And it's a very real thing. The gospel has power. It has power. And I didn't know Joel was going to share that this morning, but this is a verse. I looked it up this morning because of something that happened yesterday. And I think that's one of the things Joel was talking about, is that as we go through things in this life and the Lord makes himself real to us, what happens is we see the reality of God in people's life today. And it's not just preachers or teachers or someone you would say that could preach an hour and a half sermon. You know what? It needs to be happening with all of us. We need the living word to be activated in our life. Because when it's activated, it's the very presence of God. And I tell you what, none of us, there's not a single person here that has what it takes to navigate through this Christian journey. There's too many pitfalls, too many curves, too many things that we're going to encounter that we cannot control, and we're going to need the grace of God to go through it. There's things that can happen unexpectedly that we do not have the answer to. God has not called us to get the answer to everything or be able to manipulate him to make him do what we want him to do. We trust him. We go to him. He is our Father, and we need him. And when we need an answer and we need wisdom, he's the only one that can give it. Now, it may come from a brother or a sister or a preacher, but in the ultimate sense, it has to come from God. Otherwise, it has no life. It's just religion. I don't need religion. I need Jesus Christ. We all do. Religion is not good enough. A set of rules cannot help you when you're on your face, destitute. Jesus is the only one that can pick us up. Excuse me. This verse I looked up this morning is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't have to turn there because I'm just going to read it, but I'm going to go and share something that happened with me yesterday, okay? So this is verse 18 of Corinthians 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Do you need to be saved? We have to be saved even to come into a relationship with him, and that has to be initiated by him. He's the one that initiates salvation. But once you are saved and you come to faith and you have this relationship with the Lord and he puts his spirit in you, how many times do you have to be saved after that? Every day. And there's some days where it's more obvious than others. Have y'all found that out? There's some days where, like, to me, it's almost like if I'm in a canoe or you're in a canoe and you're having a peaceful little ride down the river, you don't even have a life vest on, and you turn a bend in the river and you don't know where you're at, and all of a sudden you got white water and you get dumped. And I tell you what, how many people here have gone rafting like in a heavy river, but there's hydraulics in rivers where the water is channeled out beneath the rock. And if you go in that rock and get spilled, you can't even get out. There's some dangerous places in rapids. Not only that, you can get banged up against a boulder just with the force of the water. If you fall into that raging river and someone doesn't save you, you are in trouble. And just as we need the salvation to save us and lift us out of the pit, we need salvation daily because we're going to encounter things that we can't handle. It's almost as if we're going down that river, the water's raging, And someone just reaches down and pulls us up. That's what Jesus did with Peter. He pulled him up. I mean, immediately he said, Lord, save me. He said, save me. Did the Lord save him? Did he need saving? I guess he couldn't swim. Regardless, he was going down, and he cried out in fear, Lord, save me. And Jesus picked him up. But I'm discovering the more I go along that though I might not think I would have to say those words in that way, I have done it numerous times. I said, Lord, please save me. I'm in a position now where I need you. And I found myself yesterday morning, I went out. I don't know about you, but a lot of times the thing that drives me to prayer is my need. Honestly. We are to exercise ourselves, and the Lord gives us so many keys, whether it's worship, fellowship, reading the word, prayer. But we all, I think Joel alluded to this, you don't wait for something just to, like some rainbow to appear over your head and hear birds singing to go exercise yourself, you know. And what you know, a lot of times when we go out even in prayer, it's, Lord, you told me to come to you. So I'm coming to you whether I feel anything or not. I'm not going to wait till I'm in a hole. And so even as we exercise prayer, worship, and other things, we don't wait until we're totally slammed or covered up before we go to him. But there's times where we absolutely have to go to him because that is what's happening. He is that great high priest. He is the one. He is the only one that can not only be touched with every person in here with what they're going through. He has the power to do something about it. And the thing of it is, that's why we have to have this gospel that has this power. And that's what I want, because the more I go along, the more I see the total inadequacy that I have. I don't care how much I've learned or how many times I've read the Bible, I get in a hole and I say, God, save me. And yesterday morning, I actually went out to pray. I didn't say, God, save me. In fact, I was just, you know, what am I doing out here? It's almost like I was hesitant to talk to the Lord because I found myself in such a vulnerable place that I was hesitant to go to him. Do you know that's when we need to go to him quickly? It's grace when we need it most. It's when we need it most. And he has the power to save us when we need it most. If we're in a river, I'm just thinking about this. Do you know there are Christians that have addictions? Do you know that? Can someone be saved and be overtaken in something to where they are addicted to something that they shouldn't be addicted to? Amen. Who has the power to set them free? Jesus Christ. Amen. And the thing of it is, the word says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Okay, easily besets us. That means there are Christians who are easily beset by some kind of sin, and a lot of times that is an addiction. Guess what? You know, there's something I'm learning too. Whatever need we have, we don't necessarily need to go and tell God all about it and why it is what it is. We just bring our burden to him and cast it at his feet. Incidentally, this is kind of a different matter, but it's one of the same. Shelly and I were, there was something we were both going through, not with each other, though we have gone through plenty. We're both so sweet, and we're not hard-headed. That's the thing. We're so gracious. I don't know how we could ever, sparks could fly, but they do. They still do. After 35 years, we've lit some fires. But God's good. He has the grace for each one of us. You know what? To walk together with each person here. We were called to walk together, right? And anyway, there was something that was happening that we were being subjected to. It wasn't between us, but, you know, it affected her. So, if it affects your spouse, it affects you, right? And I kept talking about it, and the more we talked about it, it was like, all this is doing is bringing anxiety. And I think it's around the time I was going to go get a shower anyway. I went upstairs, and I sat down on the love seat or whatever it is, a little cushion thing in the bedroom, and I had the lights were off, and I said, Lord, something occurred to me that I am wrestling with this, and every time I think about it, even think about how to pray about it, I don't know what to say. I said, because it's bringing me anxiety. But I pictured myself, you know what a hand truck is? It's like you put a box or something, you pull it back, it's like you use it when you're moving. And I told the Lord, I said, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you. You already know about it. But I'm picturing myself, Lord, with my hand truck, and I'm coming into the throne room of grace, and I'm bringing you this load, this box, this burden. I put tape on the lid. I'm not going to open it back up. I'm going to plop it down here at the throne of grace, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to take my little hand truck, and I'm going to go back. But I'm going to leave it with you. If you choose to tell me something about this or explain something to me or share something to me or give me something in addition to what I've already asked you, Lord, I know you know how to do it. but for right now, I'm just going to cast my care on you. So I left the box there. And that was it. That was the only prayer I prayed at that point. Do you know what was going on did not happen one more time the rest of the week? It's like it disappeared. God took care of it. It's not that it won't happen again, but you know what? Does God hear us when we pray? Is he, does he really have the capability of doing what he said he would do? Cast all your care on me because I care for you. A lot of the songs this morning, oh, it was enough what Jesus did. We can give him everything. And it doesn't matter if it's something like that. That wasn't that big of a deal, but it was enough to bother the situation. But he said, cast all your care. That means stuff this big or something as big as a sanctuary or bigger. There are things bigger. There are things that we go through that they are so difficult, you can't even put words to it. Has anybody ever had to go through that? I know there are people who are going through that now, and we'll go through that. But God has grace when we go through it. Anyway, to get back to yesterday morning, I'd gone out, and I just sensed my need, and I told the Lord, I started just saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. And for some reason, I thought of Paul when he said that he said, I continue to bring my body under subjection, lest after preaching, I make shipwreck of my faith or disqualify myself. That's what he was saying. And I don't think there's anybody here that thinks Paul would have lost his salvation. But there's a lot of times when we move or make the wrong choice and we go in the wrong direction and we listen to our flesh, what happens? Our testimony and the power of God seems to be muted by us listening to another voice. We need his strength and his help to overcome this flesh. And the thing, you know, also Paul said this, I found something out, that when I would do good, evil is right there with me. The evil that's right there with me and you, oh, the devil, he's there. But I tell you what, this flesh is corrupt. It's going to go in the ground. If the Lord tarries, each one of us are going to die. You know why? This is a corrupt vessel that we live in. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And this earthen vessel is corrupt to the core. And that same vessel that this treasure is in will always try to steer us in the wrong direction. And if we listen to it in any measure, we'll be robbed of peace, strength, hope. Because this flesh is nothing but death. We need the voice of God and the Spirit of God to encourage us right where we're at. And let me go back to what I was. Well, I got to thinking about that Paul said that. Evil is right there with me. I mean, a man who was as seasoned as he was with God and had the calling in his life, he's encountering this evil nature. And he's saying, I have discovered that when I would do good, evil is right there. So if evil is right there, we need some good right there to help us with the evil that not only that we can be guilty of, we need the strength to overcome it. And he's the only one that can. He overcame it at the cross. He said we died with him. Okay, but if we died with him, what's all that about? Well, as long as we're on this earth and we are breathing, this flesh will be against the kingdom of God. And even though we have this treasure in here, there's something that's pulling in the other direction. So it's only the one who's given us this life can give us the ability to overcome it. John chapter 3. This is the chapter, very famous chapter, but it's where Nicodemus came to talk to Jesus. And he, most people have read this or heard it read, and that's where Jesus told him, you must be born again. He tells him that they have a dialogue, and it goes back and forth. But what came to me in prayer was the last thing that he told Nicodemus, because everything he said before hinged on what he told him at the very end of it. And it's in, verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He has to be lifted up. Jesus said, look, I must be lifted up. Why? Because the only way you're going to obtain salvation is going to be through me. I'm going to do something for you that no one else can do, and it's going to result in salvation. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So whatever was going to happen with Jesus had to happen for us to have hope in him. But and so I went back and I read the account of what he was talking about. This in Numbers, I think it's Numbers 21. And I saw something significant in this that I've never seen. And again, that, we need the Lord to help us understand the Word of God. I mean, we can hear something 1,000 times and it be anointed, and we even grasp a certain aspect of it, but there may be more there. The Lord has unsearchable riches. The Word of God will never be exhausted. And that's why, I mean, someone may get one scripture, another one get the same scripture, and it apply to this person at a completely different level, in a different area in their life, and the same is true with this person over here, and it'd be the same scripture. God has the power to make his word come to life. And, okay, so this is the bronze snake. Okay, verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we just detest this miserable food." That was the manna. They detested it. So they are bitterly complaining. But something happens. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes or vipers among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you." Listen to their request. "Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Moses interceded for the Israelites so many times. There were times we actually fell down on his face and thought, "Please have mercy." But you know, we still need mercy. But we have an intercessor. Thank God we have an intercessor. But they prayed that the Lord would take the snakes away, or they wanted him to pray that. But the Lord, he doesn't always answer our prayer the way we think he should answer it. Look what he did. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. God did not take the snakes away, but he gave, there was something he gave for them to do that would heal them and to bring them life, even if they were bitten. But Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. If we were to have hope, he would have had to be lifted up. Because I don't know about you, I still need to be rescued. I need salvation today. I need his strength. I need his Holy Spirit. I need his help. And when he, the thing of it is, we still have snakes in our life. It's that same thing that Paul said. When I would do good, evil is right there. You know, vipers are poisonous. This flesh, man, it's got some poison in it. The thing of it is, it's dead. It is going by the way of death, but it still has a toxin in it. It's called sin. And it's just part of our human nature. We didn't do anything to deserve it. It's like we were born in Adam's race, and therefore we have sin and we are sinners. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. And what encouraged me, I thought, Lord, you know, I had gone out there to just talk to him, and suddenly I have hope. I have hope. Because he went up there and gave his life. Despite all that I have in me that's not right, he's the antidote. He is the cure and he's the power. And the thing of it is, he not only died, but he rose again. And he's seated at the right hand of God to intercede. It's not just his death on the cross. He was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. Let's go to Romans. Briefly go to Romans 8. I think it's 33 was the one I read after this. Okay. Who will bring any charge, this is verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whose God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, who is also interceding for us. And the rest of that chapter is just, you know, it's awesome. I'm not going to read the rest of it. The thing that got me and was a reality to me is he's interceding for me and you. And it doesn't matter. Again, I don't know why I was thinking about addictions, but there is no chain that he cannot break. There is no power that's greater than him. He is Lord of heaven and earth. But there are things in our lives at times that we may have an addiction. And you know what? It may not be an instantaneous deliverance. But you know what the Lord wants us to do every day? Is look to him every day. Sometimes he allows things to afflict us in our life to where we are forced to remember how dependent we are on him. That manna came every day, except for on the Sabbath, right? But it came each one of those days. The only time they gathered extra was so they didn't have to gather on the Sabbath. And if they gathered any more than what they needed, it rotted. And there were maggots in it. I guess it would be miserable food then. They complained, but you know what I mean. It was good for that day. And it was good for the next day that was left over, which was on the Sabbath when they weren't to work and gather anything. It was just enough for that day. And that's why we need daily salvation. We don't know what tomorrow holds, you know. And incidentally, I was thinking about all this, I was encouraged. You know, hey, praise God for this salvation. Praise God for this Savior. He's a captain of salvation. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's the Son of God. He's our elder brother. He's our great high priest. And he intercedes for people in matters related to God. And we need someone to intercede for us in matters related to God, because guess what? We've got this flesh, and we're limited here. He has unlimited power. And that's the thing about that gospel, is the power of God into salvation. And it's powerful today. After thinking about all this, I thought, well, gosh, you know, I remembered we are planning on having communion next Sunday. And how much does this point to that? You know, I'm going to read one more thing, and I'm going to sit down. I think it's in, it's in 1 Corinthians. Maybe it's 11. It's what was said about that part of communion. I think it's verse 23. This is what it says. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's not just his death. It's what does his death mean? It means life for us. He wants, and the reason why, I think one of the reasons he said to do this and to keep doing it until he comes, it's a remembrance of where our strength is, our help comes from, how thorough our salvation is. It is a finished work. And not only is it a finished work, he is interceding for us to make sure it happens. And when we partake of that, we're remembering his death and what his death represents to us. His blood cleanses us from all sin. His broken body, what he gave for us. What a salvation do we have? You know, I don't know if the Lord would minister more on that next Sunday. I don't know what the Lord has planned. But I think, you know, when we come into these services, we need to say, Lord, what do you have planned? We can so easily, it's so easy. I think Joel mentioned this. He talked about all of us encouraging each other. It's not like this will happen every Sunday. Who knows what will happen next Sunday? God knows. If he doesn't return, let him have his way. But what we need is each one of us, I believe, each one of us are responsible. Each one of us have this treasure in here. And as we go about our week, because church is not about what happens in here. It does, I mean, it affects that. But what affects, what happens when we come in here is how we look to God when we're out there. And if I'm in a really bad situation and God shows up for me, I can speak to the faithfulness of God. And I tell you what, I can tell you this with an assurance. I don't deserve it. I tell you what I deserve. Death, hell, and the grave. But you know what? That Savior went to the cross for us. He said, I must be lifted up. Because we must have salvation. And it comes through one source and one man. There is no other name given whereby men may be saved. It is in his name, Jesus Christ. The risen Lord, he's our elder brother. He's our great high priest. Look at him. I mean, if he were to come here right here, and he's here by the Spirit, you know he is. He indwells each person who knows him. If he were to speak to you, he would not look at you with any condemnation. Even the things that are wrong with you, he would look right past that and see your heart and say, you know what? I paid for that. I want you to bring it to me. Don't you try to fix it. Come to me. Give me your burden. Come to me. Come to me with the faith that you have. I don't care if it's a grain of a mustard seed. I honor that. Bring it to me. Come to me. I am the great I am. Is the great I am big enough to help us today? He's the only one who is. He's the only one. I'm glad. I don't like when I fail or I come short. But I'll tell you what. When I do and I discover his salvation all over again, I am thankful. Because it shows me and it's a reminder to me, I've never deserved salvation. Nor have you. We aren't strong enough to gain it, earn it, or keep it. That's his business. And everything else in between, which is everything we face, our questions, our need, he knows what we need. And he said he would supply all our needs through Christ Jesus. Amen? That's all I have. I'm thankful for God's faithfulness. Amen? Okay, I think I'm going to go back there. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Is that on? Yeah, I don't know that very much needs to be added. I appreciate so much what's been said. And I was thinking about, you know, what Joel shared in the beginning and Steve mentioned, and that's how we encourage one another. God has built us together. We're not meant to walk alone. And the reality is that we all face discouragement. And it's because of the reality of this nature that we that still exists in these bodies, it's going to fight us. It isn't all stuff that comes from out there. It comes from in here and how we respond to what's out there. And so one of the things that I believe the Lord wants us to understand is how do we get to the place where we can encourage one another? Do we just sit in a seminar and say, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that? We've got to get to the place where the Lord brings us to an experience of what we hear and what we read. And that has to do with out there. And so our daily walk is central to everything that has been said this morning. If we will pray, read the Bible, talk to God, do what the saints of old did, walk with God, where that defines our daily life. It's not like we walk out the front door and then go live our lives. This is our life. It's serving God. It's being a part of a kingdom that's going to last forever. And one of the thoughts that I had here is that we all get discouraged at times where our courage fails. And most of the time, what the cause of that is that we come short. But how many realize how, again, we come to the place where we can encourage somebody? It's pretty much going to come down to the fact that we're going to face our own needs. If I'm going to encourage somebody who has fallen in the mud, I'm going to be a lot more effective if I can look back to a time when I fell in the mud and I lifted up my eyes and I looked to a Savior and he brought me out of that mud. And he didn't just say, I forgive you for getting in the mud. He washes me off. Praise God, there's a cleansing. Well, now I've got something more than a bunch of scripture to throw at somebody and a bunch of doctrine. I've been there. I've done that. And God is going to allow us to experience Him in a lot of very practical ways. And that's why we need to be looking to Him, because God has called us to be an encouragement to one another and to walk together in what He calls love. Love is not focused on ourselves, is it? It's focused on one another. And so we're called to one another here, one anothering, as we've said at one time in the past. But God, so number one, don't be discouraged when you find yourself, God allowing you to get in a situation that shows you how weak you are. Because the fact is, without Him, we can do nothing. Now, we know that in theory, but we don't think that way. We think we can do stuff. And we're inclined, naturally speaking, to trust in our own strength and our own resolve, just like Peter did, and look what happened to him. And the Lord is likely going to do in one area of our life or another to do what He did for Peter. All right, devil, you can have at him for a bit. But don't worry, I've prayed for him that his faith fail not. We have that intercessor. And God wove that terrible experience of Peter's that was so discouraging to him, so disheartening, wove it into into something that changed his life and changed his destiny, that actually equipped him to do what the Lord said, told him to do, to strengthen your brothers. He wasn't in a position before this to strengthen his brothers because he thought he could do it. Jesus said, "You're going to deny me." He said, "No, I won't." I mean, are you going to answer back? And the Lord says, "You're going to do something." You say, "Uh-uh." Who are we to be talking back to God? He kind of knows. But oh, here is the love of God allowing him to get in a place where he felt his own need in such a way that the only answer was to look to God. The only hope was that God is going to love me and help me anyway. And now somebody else comes along and says, "Brother, I know where you've been. I know where you're at. And here's the answer. We're going to have to walk together in this hour. It's getting darker, and it's going to get darker. But not only do we have a Lord that walks with us, He's called us to help one another. I want to be equipped to help somebody else. That means me walking with God, looking to God, and when He shows me a need, I say, thank you, Lord, for showing me my need, instead of, and being discouraged by my need. If we didn't have a need, we wouldn't need a Savior. I need one every day. You know, when we talk about daily salvation, I don't want to convey the idea to somebody who hears this that we're just lost every time we fall in the mud. But rather the fact that salvation is more than simply giving me a clean slate with my sins and the God coming in. Praise God, that initiates it. But salvation is the whole process of making me like Him and using me in the process while as long as I'm here. He works in me. He wants to work through me. That applies to everybody. That's not just preachers. That's every member of the body of Christ. God has called us to be instruments in His hands and to be a light and a strength to one another, and He's going to do what it takes to make that happen. And so we not only have the admonition to encourage one another, we have the ability to do it because God's working in us. So don't ever be discouraged and just say, "Oh, God, it's all over. I messed up." God wants you to look up. You will never find the answer in here. You will never find the answer by saying, "I need to be stronger. I need to try harder." You're always going to have to come to a place where you say, "I have no hope except His strength. And His strength is more than enough." Praise God, He went to a cross. He took me with Him. He took me into that grave, but He came out with a new life, and that's the life He gave me. I couldn't deserve the least part of it. But once I come to that place of repentance and trust and full trust in Him, He begins a work that takes me all the way to glory on the other side, and all the glory will be His. But in the meantime, we can do exactly what the brothers have said this morning. We could strengthen one another and take every negative thing, all the songs that were sung about, needing Him and being in a place of need this morning. If you're there, you look up, you look to God, you put your trust in Him. Don't you let the devil defeat you and lie to you about the consequences of that. I don't care what you see in yourself. The Lord sees someone who is in need that he is well able to save completely because of what he did on the cross. To him alone be the glory. Lift up your hearts and your eyes and give God the praise that he deserves. Honor the one who went to that cross for you. And then as you receive his word and his love into your heart, you've got something that you can share to somebody. It's not just a proof text. It's something where you've been there and done that. And God is faithful. And we're gonna be able to help one another get all the way there and do what he's called us to do and be ready to stand in this hour. Praise God. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord.
Amen. What Joel said about that pond, I've had that thought a lot of times. If there's not water going in, if you're not seeking the Lord, there's nothing coming out. You don't have anything to share. It's just like the 10 virgins. All 10 of them, they went out at night to find the bridegroom or wait for him. And they all 10 had lamps. Only 5 wise ones brought extra oil. If we don't have any extra oil, there's nothing to share. There's nothing to give anybody out here. And why are we here? I've read this before, and I think it's an encouragement. It's encouragement to me every time I read it. It's by Pastor S.M. Lockridge. It's been a while back when it says he's born in 1953. I don't remember when this when he did this sermon, but anyway, if I can read it, the words in this thing, we need to keep our eyes on who are we talking to? Who's our king? Because the world has gone, it's just going downhill. It's you look around and watch the news. Don't do it. but this is what we need to be thinking about. My king was born king. The Bible says he's a 7-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him? Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. My king is the only one whom there are no means of measure can define. His limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shores of supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's entirely steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the grandest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of proved theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. He's the miracle of the ages. He's the superlative of everything that's good you choose to call him. Well, he's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and saves. He's strong, God. He's strong, God, and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my king is the king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highest of holies. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of conquerors. He's the head of heroes. He's the leader of legislature. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. He's lord of lords. Yes, that's my king. Yes, that's my king. His office is manifold, his promises are sure, his light is matchless, his goodness is limitless, his mercy is everlasting, his love never changes, his word is enough, his grace is sufficient, his reign is righteous, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible, he's invincible, he's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, let alone man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind, and you can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yes, that's my king. He always has been. He always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he has no successor. There's nobody before him, and there's nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, all the power belongs to my king. We're around here talking about the... That's from that time. I'll skip that one. Thine is the power and the glory. We try to get the prestige and honor and glory from ourselves, but the glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the evers, then amen. We need to remind ourselves who we serve. And that he loves us. Just listen to the guys talk today. I think about, and I had this same thought when Daisy was a little tiny bit little. I think about Asher. He's almost two before long. When he's hurt, this is for everybody. When he's hurt and he reaches up and he says, Daddy, hold me. That touches my heart. That's how Jesus is. When we're hurt, we need him. We reach up and say, Lord, I need you. He feels that. And we can't even feel the way he feels. But that the way that touches my heart when that baby is hurt. He loves us more than we can understand. And he hears us when we cry out to him. He told us that.